Good morning. I'm Beth Ann Kozlovich. You're listening to The Conversation. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Beth Ann. You know, there's a concern that you and I have expressed talking to one another that we're living in a world these days that has learned to distrust science.
Well, especially after the 50s and 60s when science was so much promoted, it's ironic that we are in the place where we are now, which sort of leads us to our first conversation. Scientists on the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change now say they're 95% sure they know the enemy of the planet, and it's us. The conference in Sweden ended as we went into the weekend with that announcement. It moved the position of the panel's last meeting from pretty sure humans were the cause to a reliable certainty. That may not be a big surprise to you, but the panel's projections just might be. UH researcher Axel Timmermann is the lead author on a chapter of the report. Good morning. Thanks for coming in.
Good morning, Bethan. It's a great pleasure to be here.
Now, the report itself was being formulated over the weekend and is only being released today in its final form, but we got a preview of it as we were coming into the weekend. And the six statements that it took those 110 governments many, many hours to formulate are fairly simple and straightforward. Can you start by just reading those six statements so that people can be with us on the same page?
Sure. Actually, there are more than six statements in there. This is a pretty big summary for policymakers, about 35 pages. But these are the basic messages, really, take-home messages. Warming of the climate system is unequivocal, and since the 1950s, many of the observed changes are unprecedented over decades to millennia. In the Northern Hemisphere, 1983 to 2012 was likely the warmest 30-year period of the last 1,400 years. The atmospheric CO2 levels are unprecedented in at least the last 800,000 years. The ocean has absorbed about 30% of the emitted anthropogenic carbon dioxide, causing ocean acidification, and it is extremely likely, that's the 95% statement, that human influence has been the dominant cause of the observed warming since the mid-20th century. And the last one is quite important for the regional aspects of climate change. The contrast in precipitation between wet and dry regions and between wet and dry seasons will increase over the next 50 to 80 years.
Now, those, are you saying, have been distilled from 35 pages worth of report and a lot of time spent to be able to get words very right and where there was reasonable agreement, which is a tough thing to do when you've got 110 governments there. But for us in Hawaii, there's some real importance in what has happened with this report in many levels for what we're looking at with sea level rise and maybe saying goodbye to Waikiki in 80 years. But especially looking at how we now have the opportunity to manage or not manage what we're seeing right here and right now with rainfall.
Right. So the IPCC report is actually a 2,400 pages thick document. And the summary for policymakers that got released actually last Friday is really a very condensed version of it. The 2,400 pages actually include a very sophisticated analysis, very elaborate analysis of sea level change, for example, regional climate change, processes, phenomena that are associated with regional climate change, such as the El Nino Southern Oscillation phenomenon, monsoons. There is a discussion on past climate change, how did ice ages actually form, and so on. So it's a very, very comprehensive document. This document summarizes and assesses basically the science of global warming, of climate change, past, present, and future. And in this document, there are several chapters that deal with the regional aspects of climate change. But unfortunately, the IPCC climate projections, they are based on relatively coarse models, so it's very difficult to use them at face value for climate change assessments here for the Hawaiian Islands, in terms of rainfall in particular. But the main numbers actually to remember is, depending on which CO2 emission scenario you choose, Hawaii will either experience a warming of about 1 Fahrenheit for a low CO2 emission scenario, or a warming of up to 7.2 degrees Fahrenheit if we continue basically the way we do right now in terms of CO2 emissions. sea level rise is expected to reach about 1 foot for the low emission scenario to about 3 feet by the year 2100.
Which gives us some time to do some planning. But if I'm hearing you say correctly that although this was assessing something that we obviously have some time to do with coming up, part of it is accepting that this needs to be done right now. That seems to be much more challenging for a lot of people to get their minds around, because you look at 80 years from now, what may be the reality of it may be a little tougher for people to plan now, even though we can look back and say, well, you know, World War II was not that long ago either, and you're looking with roughly the same thing, and we see that as being accessible. It's tougher to look off perhaps in the future. What is the big takeaway you think for Hawaii with this that we need to do policy-wise right now, regardless of some of the other impacts that we may see with rainfall?
So first of all, the IPCC report is not policy prescriptive. It's policy relevant. But as a private citizen, I would just say it's a very simple message. Save energy is the first thing. Very often we always think about switching to alternative energy resources. That's, of course, a complementary effort. But what's really important is that we start to save energy. In particular, in this country, so much energy is wasted. And I think a huge amount of CO2 reductions could actually be implemented by going to more efficient ways of using energy.
And especially, though, as we're talking about how we want to change our agricultural base, and forgive me for harping on the rainfall part, but we've heard so much from UH that our rainfall patterns are changing, and we have to take that into consideration, too. So if you couple those two things, is there a prescription that you would give us as we look toward the next even 20 years?
For Hawaii in particular, sir?
For Hawaii, yes.
Well, I guess I'm leaving a little bit the arena of a climate scientist, but what I see is that there are so many resources available here in Hawaii, wind, solar. It's actually surprising that not more of these resources are harvested. So I would like to see a Hawaii that's much more sustainable in the future, that uses energy resources that are available here on these islands rather than importing fossil fuels. And I think it could be accomplished. At the same time, really the efficiency of energy usage has to be improved tremendously here in this country.
Thanks for coming in.
Thank you very much.
Axel Timmerman is a UH Manoa Professor of Oceanography and the leader of the UH Manoa International Pacific Research Center's Paleoclimate Research Unit. Since 2010, he's been working as a lead author of a chapter on paleoclimate in the IPCC Fifth Assessment Report. You can find out more on hpr2.org.
Just when you were getting used to this place, and you were getting used to these bones, and you were getting used to the changes, well, the change won't.